This is Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. And it's time for Curious Wisconsin, where we explore the unique and unusual people, places, and events in our state. Today, we'll be visiting Rock Island, where you find an Icelandic great hall and boathouse.
You can see the boathouse from miles away, a huge stone structure that gradually takes the form of a boathouse that as you approach Door County's Rock Island on the ferry.
It turns out that the 975-acre island, most of which is a state park today, was not only the site of the first European settlement in Door County, but also the private estate of a wealthy inventor who had big plans for it.
Richard Purinton is with us to share the story. He's the author of Thordarson and Rock Island. Richard, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Rob and Veronica.
Well, nobody lives on Rock Island today, so why is there all this Icelandic architecture there?
Well, I'm going to have to, interject just a little bit of a disclaimer on that. It's not Icelandic architecture, although it was built by a man of Icelandic nationality, Chester Hjortur Thordarson, or C.H. Thordarson. The building, some of them were designed by a Chicago architect, and I think there's no question that Thordarson himself had a very strong hand in their design. They used native materials, limestone primarily, but they had, Spanish tile roofs, and they really don't exactly resemble anything in Iceland. So I need to correct that point. And there are several, myths or stories about Rock Island that have been recycled over the years. And that was one of the reasons I wanted to do the book.
Well, I've been to Rock Island and seen this stuff, and regardless of whether they're actually from Iceland, I do remember reading some things about how he brought in artisans from Iceland, I think, to do things like carve runes on the chair in the Great Hall. So you mentioned the Spanish tiles on the roof. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about what these structures look like.
They're unlike any other structures in Door County and probably in the rest of the state for that matter. Very impressive. The boathouse is quite bold, stands about 70 feet from water to the peak, approximately 40 feet in width. Very nice proportions, large stone arches. Boats could be brought in on the water level, and then above that was a large hall, a great hall, where there were, I think, social occasions took place there, both family and guests of the Thordarsons. And then Thordarson, from about 1941 through the time of his death, had his books there. That would have been 1945. Had books in their cases and furniture that was carved really for his office in Chicago, but he brought those pieces of furniture and his books with the cases, over 10,000 books, to Rock Island. So the carving of the furniture was done by a man named Halldór Einarsson, Icelander who emigrated to first to Manitoba, then came to Chicago. And that's where Thordarson met him, and he interpreted Norse mythology in his carvings. And I think the two of them got along very well.
What he's building all these buildings on this island. What was Chester Thordarson's plan for this land?
You know, it kind of evolved and changed over time. He bought the property on the island in 1910, the largest piece from a landowner named Rasmus Hansen, who had been logging timber on that property, and then smaller pieces from other people. At the time that he bought property on Rock Island, 1910, there were no other people living there, but there had been a small pioneer community there. Until just after the Civil War, and then people started moving away from Rock Island, I think for better land opportunities, but many of them were fishermen, and Rock Island really did not have a good harbor. So Thordarson first began improving the old pioneer buildings, log cabins and so forth, most of which were over on the eastern side. We call it the East Village, but they were probably pretty well run down at the point that he took over island ownership. So he fixed a number of them up, which enabled he and his family to live in those buildings when they were there, and guests. And then around 1920, roughly, changed, and his emphasis went to the other side of the island, which was much closer to Washington Island and to Jackson Harbor, where there was a good jumping off point to get to Rock Island. It's 1 mile from Jackson Harbor to Rock Island. So from about 1920 through roughly 1931, that was a very busy period for Thorderson in constructing buildings on Rock Island. It was also, I think, a key point in his business life, both in creating, inventing, and in manufacturing electrical products.
So who was this guy? Was he sort of your typical idea of an eccentric millionaire who had these fanciful ideas about what to do with his money?
In some ways, yes. He guarded his money very closely. And a story that he liked to tell, it was recorded first in the American magazine and an interview done with him in 1925, which really, I think, was more revealing than almost anything else written about him. And he said that when he started work in Chicago, and he was in his late teens then, he was making $4 a week, and a couple dollars went to room and board. He put $1 toward buying books, even though he had very little money. And he was pretty much self-made. He had a rudimentary elementary education up through about seventh grade. And then the rest of it was learning by doing and learning by reading. And he was a brilliant individual, so he picked up the electrical engineering aspect and working with motors and windings, and then eventually coming up with his own inventions and patents and then manufacturing them. So that's where he made his money.
Do you look at him as kind of a prototypical immigrant success story?
In some ways, yes. He was very proud, I think, of what he had accomplished. He always was. But he went beyond the average success story in that although he watched his dollars and pennies very carefully, I don't think from what I've read that wealth in and of itself was something that he was trying to achieve. It was the things that came with that. And Rock Island was really a focus of his energies when he wasn't working on business or, electrical inventions. And develop Rock Island in a way that pleased him, and collecting books. And he did this from, as I mentioned, really prior to 1900. So by 1945, when he died, his library was considered one of the finest in North America. And he himself liked to say in his letters that some of his volumes were not found anywhere, even in the British libraries.
If you visit Rock Island today, what do you see in terms of the preservation of what is there? Is it still pretty well preserved? And what does it feel like just to walk in these unusual buildings and see this stuff firsthand?
Well, I think it's that feeling and questions that evolve from being there and wondering who built this, why did they build it, and what sort of a person was Thorderson. That's what really got me started on doing more research and then eventually writing this book. And I think everyone who visits there has the same question, why in this place and why, rather extravagant for the day in such a rural setting would he have built these things? Well, I think he just wanted a really comfortable, fine estate. Now, this wasn't lavish like perhaps Rockefeller's or Vanderbilt's. It wasn't finished to that extent. But beautiful buildings and the interest that Thorderson had in botany and nature, he kind of pushed that side of his personality. He had a greenhouse. He raised plants there, some of them quite exotic, and in fact planted, I think, over 4,000 fruit trees, shrubs, and other plants. So it wasn't all, trying to preserve exactly nature as it had been, although I think that was an original plan that he had to preserve it as much as he could. But gradually, he kind of made it over in his own image in some ways.
Is there, in our last few seconds, a hidden gem, something we've got to see that might not be immediately obvious on Rock Island?
Well, I think in addition to the boathouse, which is where the ferry brings you in, and I'm some days I'm operating that ferry.
Nice.
The Pottawatomie Lighthouse, which is the oldest light in northern Lake Michigan, is open. Docents, volunteers will show people through the lighthouse. And the water tower on the east side, which stands kind of alone, it's a stone structure there because there are no other pioneer buildings near it, makes you wonder, why did that get built in that location?
We'll leave it there. Richard, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you very much.
That's Richard Purinton. He's author of Thorderson and Rock Island, lifelong resident of Door County. As he mentioned, he pilots the Washington County Ferry Line.
If you have a suggestion for Curious Wisconsin, call our hotline. We'd love to hear from you at 855-683-5422. That's 855-683-5422. And let us know what you're curious about, and we'll try to get you some answers.
Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, we'll talk to an author who's trying to revive the history of the Midwest. He says it's been neglected.
We'll hear about the U.S. Vietnam War veterans who are returning to Vietnam. They're seeking closure and to improve relations between our two countries.
That and the news of the day coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.
Coming up after the news, we'll find out about the rise of stay-at-home dads and where the trend is coming from. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.